Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health. My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to live life to its fullest. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Fit Food Junkies. Today, I think you are going to find this episode extremely valuable because we have on Adam Zaitsev. Now, Adam is a former CEO and president of Gold's Gym, and he is a current CEO of Intellivideo, a digital technology platform for gyms and health clubs. Adam said the hybridization of brick and mortar businesses with digital innovation, particularly in the fitness space, is something I've been passionate about and advocating for throughout my entire career. Also on health club management, he said that post-COVID, the world has changed in fitness. If you are not in the game to offer this omni-channel approach, you are not going to stay in it very long. I am so excited for you guys to learn today all that Adam has to share with us. He is going to talk about how he became the CEO of Gold's Gym and the current CEO of Intellivideo, life as a CEO, the pathway to becoming a leader, and all the skills and experience that you need. He's going to teach us how to adapt, especially in times like COVID-19. And also what the future of fitness looks like, especially in the eyes of a leader of a revolutionary fitness company. It is such a privilege to have on today, Adam Zaitsev.
Thank you so much for being with me here today. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
I feel like so much of your background in terms of you being in the fitness industry fills also so many of my passions as well. So I kind of want to just ask you what you do and what got you started to working in corporate fitness.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, my journey into the fitness industry, I don't want to say it was by accident, but it was sort of by accident. I was in high tech entrepreneurial startups for years. I came out of college, got my first job as a marketing manager for a small computer company in New York, and within 6 months left and started a business with a friend I'd made there. And it was me and a dog. So I was 22. No, I was not even 22. I didn't even turn. I left right after school. I was a younger kid. So I was just turning 22. And I said, well, if it doesn't work, I'll pack the dog and some stuff. I'll drive back up to Massachusetts and move in with mom and dad, which thankfully didn't have to happen because I'm not sure how that would have gone back then. But so I was in the high tech space and grew some businesses there. And I had a business in kind of 99 through 2002 time that was a spin out of one of our companies, and we sold it. And a couple of the really smart young guys who worked for me left at the time and started a small software startup in fitness for scheduling meetings and usage of fields and sports facilities and courts and birthday parties and some small fitness stuff. And so I made a small investment in those guys and helped them. And then about a year later came on board full time. And at the time I was coming on board, we were just pivoting from just recreational sports facilities into the fitness industry, scheduling personal trainers and sessions. And that was 2005. And so by accident, I started in the fitness industry on the technology side and spent the first about 11 years of my 15 or 16 years on the technology point of sale, digital transformation side. And then the last four and a bit on the operational side at Gold. So.
And how did you get your foot in the door to be working at Gold's Gym, such a world's trusted fitness company?
Yeah, so we actually, they were customers. So when that company I mentioned with those two young guys who are now very successful, both of them, and one's still there and one in another business, we were acquired in 2009 by a company called Jonas Software, who's part of a publicly traded company in Toronto. And really, it was a cool place to cut your teeth and really learn how to grow up in software. And it was a really fun environment for us. And we did a bunch of acquisitions once they bought our business. We did acquisitions, and I was running the fitness and kind of leisure sports division of the company. And one of those businesses happened to have Gold's Gym as a big customer, top five customer. And of course, Gold's is headquartered in Dallas, and got to know them as a customer and supporting them in their company owned gyms. And of course, being in the fitness industry already, I knew lots of the franchisees from supporting some of them and working with them over the years, and just got to know the management team and the ownership group. And The next thing you know, they were looking for a CIO and a head of global brand innovation. And I had not been a CIO before, but I had been basically running technology companies, doing innovation, deploying technology solutions, both for internal use and for customers and members. And so it was a perfect opportunity to come work for the world's most iconic fitness brand. It's hard to turn that down.
Yes.
It was a big move, but it was one I'm grateful for. And it really started out the next phase of my career in fitness.
Yeah, I'm sure many people listening, including myself, are huge fans of Gold's Gym. And I used to go to the Mecca, the one in Venice Beach.
Of course.
That's a scene right there, just going there. It's almost entertaining to just watch people work out at that location.
It is a great location. I've obviously been there many times. And the general manager there is a great guy, Jeff. But it's just, you're right, it's a scene. And the people are so serious about their fitness. And I think Gold's and World's Gym, for example, have some of the obviously more iconic brands, but also some of the more iconic and really dedicated franchisees too, which makes them a really powerful brand because of the franchisees who buy in and grow the business. So yeah, fun brand and fun place for sure.
Other than the franchisee aspect of it, what do you think makes Gold's Gym as powerful as it is? How were they able to grow so immensely and really have this recognition for themselves? What do you think made them differentiate from other gyms?
I think at the time, I remember this is, you know, the Gold started in 65. And I think at the time, it was really one of the catalysts to help build the fitness industry in the health club space. It was still a really immature industry at the time. And Joe Gold was all about innovating and getting results and building a fitness community. And that's what he did really well. And of course, we all know his most famous, you know, student and member, if you will, of his gym. And I think really that when that movie came out and when Arnold really hit the scene and really grew in the bodybuilding space, I think it really just helped catapult the brand to a different level. And I think to answer your question, I think it was because at the time it was just known for getting people results. And if you wanted to come and get results, whatever, at the time it was bodybuilding, but now, right, whether it's a Gold's Gym or a World Gym, the two iconic brands, they're both known for that back in the day. And now they're both known for just getting people results. And it's really what helped in the early days set Gold's apart. And then that's where franchisees bought in the 80s and 90s and really helped grow the brand to in its heyday, over 700 locations around the world.
That's incredible. And from working in operations, you then became the CEO of Gold's Gym. Not everyone can say they've been the CEO of Gold's Gym. So indeed. I hope to maybe follow in half of your footsteps one day. But how did you go from operations to becoming the CEO of Gold's Gym?
So I was, you know, obviously in the technology side and helping with some of the operations and as the CIO and helped build some new business units there and our play in digital with the Gold's Amp product and building out digital back in 2017 before it became really critical to the world a few months ago. But and then I lost my mind for a little bit, actually, Emily, and I left the industry. I got lured out to become the CIO and running some brand innovation for Smoothie King, a really fun, cool, healthy and active lifestyle kind of quick serve restaurant brand. And now it's over almost 1,200 locations, really cool company, and enjoyed the heck out of it. I was there for about a year and had no intentions of going anywhere. I was learning the restaurant space, how you can, obviously we all know in the fitness industry, it's all not just exercise, it's about nutrition. So how do you eat healthy? Mm-hmm. And Smoothie King was very healthy and it still is very healthy, all natural, all clean ingredients. And it was a lot of fun and people really related to that. And but then got a phone call one day from the former owners of Gold's Gym saying, hey, we're looking to really take this business to the next level. At one point they were thinking of selling it and that didn't work out. And so they knew some of the ideas I had for the brand and wanted to know if I would come back and run the company and execute on those ideas. And again, when you're asked if you want to become the CEO of the world's most iconic brand, not just the CIO, it's probably something that as long as it's the right opportunity, you don't want to turn down either. And so it was exciting to come back, and I feel like even though I loved Smoothie King, it's great people, great brand,
right,
great franchisees, in fact, too. It was just one of those things where you felt like you were coming home again, back to fitness, back to the people that you had just worked with, most of them whom were still there. And so that's how I stepped back into the role in February of 19.
What was kind of your day-to-day like? And in order to become a CEO, what would someone expect working for a global fitness brand with the recognition that Gold's Gym has?
Well, if you're looking at any role, CEO of any company, I don't care if it's three people or 3,000 or 300,000, I think You have to be, first of all, I think flexible has to be in your middle name. Like, you can't expect a very consistent day, especially in the global role where Golds has, you know, three kind of business units and had its company owned gyms and had its licensing business because it's a well-known brand and it licenses brand for a lot of things. And then of course the franchising side. So if you're going to become a CEO of any company, any size, any scope, you have to have flexibility and pivoting. And they say, they joke about businesses need to pivot to stay, you know, relevant. Well, you have to pivot almost daily as a CEO, not like once or twice a year or a couple times every few years as a business, but you have to pivot daily. You're jumping from one meeting about something else, one thing, to a meeting about something else completely different. And, you know, you are being pulled on to go in 16 different directions throughout the day, help the team make decisions, coach them through things. And so I think if you're certainly looking to be a CEO, any size, shape, or form, be flexible, be ready to pivot, and you know, be servant-hearted in the fact that you're there to help serve your team and help them make the right decisions and make sure that the smart people that you hired for those specific domains are actually able to execute on things.
When you were working as a CEO, what do you think was the hardest decision you ever had to make as CEO? Or maybe there was something you had to go through every single day that was just a continuous struggle, but you really had to work through it.
I mean, the hardest thing, just because it's so relevant right now, the hardest decisions I've ever had to make were that third week of March this year, right? 2020, and everything that was happening and franchisees calling, and especially those in the Northeast who were getting hit really hard at the time and shutting their gyms down and having to make decisions. And, you know, at the time when that happened, we had just refranchised a bunch of gyms. So we had about 100 company owned gyms and 4,500 employees. And, you know, that was those 2 weeks are something that I will never forget in terms of just tough decisions,
right?
You know, furloughs, unfortunately some layoffs. How do we deal with business, cash flow management? What's the messaging? How do we talk to our franchisees? How do we talk to our members? How do we tell people that, guys, you know, we're 4,000 and change people, we're, you know, most of you're going to have your jobs back, but we're kind of putting everything on pause right now and we don't know what's going to happen. And at the time we thought it was 2 or 3 or 4 weeks like the rest of the world, and it turned out to be many months. But right. That was certainly by far the most challenging 2 weeks I've had as a leader of any business.
But how do you lead when you are going through such a horrible time and you're expected to make these decisions that you just have to make, even if you're, you know, if you're not wanting to yourself? How do you kind of break through that and take on that leadership role while going through those really hard times?
I mean, it's hard. And I think the thing you have to remember as a CEO, again, any size scope of the business, is that it's not just you. You may be the face of the business. You may be the one to look at, but you know, at Golds, for example, I had an outstanding leadership team, and still, you know, many of them, some of them aren't there anymore and some of them are, but man, it's a great group. And, you know, as much as I was the guy who had to make the final decision and be the face and give the bad news, we all united together. And that's the thing, that as a leader, you rely on the team, you know, and we all came together. We made some decisions. We did some analysis. And I think that helps you get through it, knowing that even if you have to be the face, to be the one to sign the piece of paper and deliver the bad news, you did it as a team. You all aligned. You all agreed it was the best thing for the business. And at the time, because it was so uncertain, right, you know, it's a legacy brand. And it was our job to make sure that brand survived through everything. And so you just had to make some of those decisions. But I would say anyone faced with that listening, just, you have a team there and don't think it's all on you. Go to them, talk to them. Even if you end up with the final say or you're the tie-breaking vote, that's why you have them there.
I think that's really where you're able to test your leadership and see how you can, you know, that's where you have to be flexible and where you have to learn to pivot. And that's where right. It matters the most. Before COVID, was there a specific time that has really stuck out to you that as in your career as a CEO?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's one major incident that stands out. I think there was a lot of smaller incidents. And I think, to me, to be honest with you, it's not as much maybe a time or place or a variety of small things as a CEO that happened to me, but I think it was more of an example that always stuck out to me during the tough times. And it was, yeah, for me, it was growing up and watching my grandfather, who ran his own business after World War II and the Korean War, and came back and built a thriving business. He was a designer, manufacturer of lighting, had a big factory refurbished all over New England, and had a bunch of people there. And I spent a lot of time there as a kid, and I watched him and I learned from him. And And I think he was well respected by his team, his people back in the day. You know, it was a little bit different. Obviously, back then there was a lot less technology and it was more human interaction and face to face, and it meant a lot more. And his people were just looked at him and respected how he treated them and how he helped, you know, keep them employed and treated them like family, and vice versa. You know, they treated him the same way. And I think, instead of just one specific example, every time there was a hardship, every time there was something, as a CEO, always looked back on that and kind of took the lessons from him about how it was decisions about his people first and how does this affect his team and the company. And I think that's always just sat with me through every tough decision, big or small. And you have to think about, how does this going to affect the people around me, the overall business and their kind of well-being. And I think that's just something that, no matter how, you know, tenuous or stressful the situation, it was just something I looked at and helped me make those decisions.
Yeah. So putting the people first, basically, in front of you. Yeah. No, that's amazing that those are your foundations to your leadership roles. And just in terms of even becoming a CEO, how does one become a CEO? And it doesn't even matter what industry. I mean, do you think that someone needs to have specific credentials to become a CEO? Do you think that, are there books or are there certain, whatever it is that you, other than your grandfather and his foundations and what he taught you, but is there something that you grew up with or something that you think is so vital if you want this path to becoming a CEO one day?
I think, so I'll give away a little secret. I think it's not rocket science, right? Like, it's not, I don't want to, people listening shouldn't be, oh my gosh, it's rock. It's not like, being a rocket scientist is hard. Like, I could never be one. Like, literally, that's just some skills that I will never have. But being a CEO is all about, you know, understanding the domain that you're in, right? You certainly probably aren't going to have me be the CEO of a pharmaceutical company or a robotics company. It's not my domain. But understanding the various domains you're in, and many domains have similar, multi-unit fitness, multi-unit retail, multi-unit restaurant, those are all similar domains. And when you think about it, and so I think, but it isn't rocket science. It's about being someone who's approachable, about being someone who can be innovative. I mean, CEO is the one who sets the vision, sets the strategy, usually in partnership with his or her team, and helps, speak that strategy to the world and make sure that you're always communicating that and engaging, whether it's with customers, investors, shareholders, et cetera, media. And I think if you have a passion for what you do and you have a passion to be the person who, even if it's a team making the decisions together, but you want to be out there and be the face, and you can think about strategy and kind of think ahead, you know, you don't have to think 10 years ahead, but just always think a few weeks, months, you know, half a year down the road. If you can think ahead a little bit about strategy, and you can be versatile with your experience, I think it helps as a CEO to have had some experience. And me growing up as an entrepreneur, you swept the floors, you did the accounting, you did the marketing, you were the salesperson, you did the installations, you fixed the problems, you broke the computers, you fixed all the things. And so growing up and having experience in all the different areas of the business certainly makes a big difference as a leader, because you don't make decisions in a box. And so as people grow into their roles, and I know, there's so many great things about whether it's millennials or Gen Zs or whoever, there's so many great things and some of the knocks sometimes they say about people. And I don't think it's, I don't think it's really fair, but they're, hey, when am I going to be in charge? When am I going to run the show? And I've only been here a year, but I think it's important that they take the time and they learn the areas of the business. Because if you spend time in multiple domains within whatever business, fitness, a gym, health and wellness, healthy restaurant, you can make much smarter decisions. And that just happens over time. You're not going to get that after jumping into a company, being there 6 or 12 months and going, okay, I'm ready to run this thing. It just, it takes time to soak it all in. So those are the things, if you're looking to be in this role, that I think are really important.
If you were to pick just three tips or pieces of advice that you would tell someone that they should be doing every single day to gain more skills to one day, maybe hopefully follow the path of a CEO, what would be your three skills that you would recommend?
I would certainly, listening is critical. I would always spend some time just running around. Even to, you don't hit every department or every team member every day, you can't do that, but certainly listen, and just soak it in, because the people in the front lines are the ones who are really experiencing everything. And if you don't dive in right there with them, and like you just mentioned, lead from the front and just get out there once in a while, you're not going to actually know what's going on. And I think that's super important. So definitely, you know, listening, I think learning, I mean, I always try to just run around and learn a little something about what's happening. I can't tell you how much I learned, for example, the marketing team at Gold's Gym and the CMO at Smoothie King, who was amazing when I was there, and just by poking into some meetings and learning a little bit about areas that were not quite my level of expertise, but man, they help make smarter decisions when you get that. And then I think, you know, I think the last one is just, it's hard to practice this per se, but just really being transparent. I think people want the leader, no matter what size the company, big or small, they want to relate to that person. Mm. And they don't want to see that person coming off the corporate jet and the expensive suits and the posh this. That's not what they want. They want to just relate to the person. They want to know that person wakes up and, you know, just like they do, and is grumpy and changes the baby's diaper just like they do, and right. All the things that regular people, we all do as regular people. And I think being transparent and being open and listening to them and engaging with them in that level, I think is really important and something that you should practice as a leader. Even if you're, you know, just got your first job and you're the supervisor of a small team all the way up to CEO, you're still a leader, and being right. transparent and making people realize you're just like them, it makes them work harder for you and it makes them respect you more.
Hmm. Yeah, those are very great pieces of advice. Do you think that it's necessary for someone to go back to school and maybe get their MBA if they want this path?
You know, I it depends. I mean, certainly if you have a specific domain where that's required, accounting or legal or medical, maybe that might be. But I think... You know, don't want every, you know, business school in the country to hate me, but I think it's really just about being involved and nothing replaces getting involved in the business every day and mm-hmm. just getting out there and working your way up through the business and learning about all areas of the business. And like I said, there are certainly roles, responsibility, leadership positions that just require that. And that's totally understandable. But depending on where you are, I can tell you when I interview people and I look at resumes, I probably half the time we'll glance down at where they went to school, only to see if I just happen to know the school or if they were close by or they played sports or, you know, and I have kids in college myself who play, they play sports, and it's just fun to see because I think those are really good leaders as well.
Yeah.
Kids who can learn to play. So, but I'm not as fussed about that as much as I am about what's their experience, you know, how well do they engage and how much have they spent time learning the business that they're trying to be involved in. So to me, that's more important. And of course, you know, getting your MBA is a wonderful thing to do. But to me, this is more important when I'm looking at people and I'm hiring them.
It's good to hear that, you know, if you learn the skills and if you get yourself in the industry immersed and taking on, like what you were saying, small leadership positions to eventually grow, you can make it happen on your own.
Exactly.
I want to kind of pivot and talk about Intellivideo. Now you've become the CEO of another fitness company, truly remarkable. And this is a video, for those who don't know, it's a video on demand, live streaming and digital technology platform for gyms, health clubs, and fitness businesses. So first of all, how did you go from Gold's Gym to Intellivideo? And then what exactly does Intellivideo consist of as a whole?
Yeah, so that's funny. We were working with Intellivideo while at Gold's Gym. And in fact, I got to know the leadership team back in like 2017, 18, when I was still the CIO of the company.
You never know. Relationships are going to lead you. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And then when I came back in the CEO role, we actually engaged with them and we actually started doing business with them. And so when, you know, we had the transition with Gold's Gym back in August, and having known the leadership team there well, they reached out. And as I sat at home and just trying to mull my next couple opportunities and narrow it down, I think for me, it was the perfect combination. And we just spent the last little bit talking about me growing up in fitness, but in the technology side and the technology world, and having run a lot of technology companies. And this one happens to be smack dab in the middle of the fitness industries. And more importantly, is there to help health clubs to survive and thrive, not just through the pandemic, but for the long term. And so it was just a perfect sweet spot, as I am obviously bullish on the future of brick and mortar gyms. Are not going anywhere, but this, you know, we help them make sure they can survive and continue to grow. So it was just a perfect opportunity for me. And so what do we do? You said it, you did some great research. That's exactly what we do. We help, we give gyms a kind of a three-pronged approach to hybridizing their offering. So it's a complement to their in-club solutions. It's not replacing it. All the in-club training and equipment and classes and coaching and expertise is still critical. But as we know, the world has changed and the pandemic has seen to that and accelerated that. And so whatever these gyms and fitness businesses are offering inside of their clubs, they need to then hybridize that and offer as much of that as possible outside the club. So we provide three things. We provide the technology platform and all the ways for the consumers to engage in the exercise digitally. So we can put the platform in, they can host all their videos, they can set up all their live streams, soon to be virtual personal training, all those things. And then we actually give them the means to deliver it, whether it's on the web, in a mobile app, on your Apple or TV or Roku or smart TV. We have all those interfaces. But then we also work with the gyms and say, hey, this is a different business than you're used to. So how we help them market it. We help them market it to their members and engage in their community with it and keep people on the platform so they stay engaged. And the third thing we do is we help them make sure they have the right content strategy. It's really important. And we feel strongly that the large majority, it doesn't have to be all, but the large majority of content that a gym puts on their digital platform for on-demand, live streaming, et cetera, should be their own content, their own people. If you belong to a gym and they have three or four locations around your town and your city, and you recognize some of the trainers and some of the group exercise coaches, and we all know group exercise coaches are the face of the gym most of the time because they're the ones that engage so much with members and they see them all the time and the members follow them to their classes. And you want to see those same people on the digital platform so you can feel comfortable. You put your trust in them to begin with, start your fitness journey. And so in the club, and you want those same people guiding you on your fitness journey when you can't get to the club. So those are the three areas we help. And obviously quite a busy time for us. And it's, we're excited to help all our brothers and sisters in these, own these gyms and help them continue to stay afloat and get past this and get through it.
Yeah. Wow. What, I just feel like you're not only are you wearing so many hats, but what an interesting job that you can look forward to every day. And this industry itself, obviously, given the time, is that's already just a loaded Great industry point. Right now to learn how to pivot. But yeah, it sounds also like you're in an industry right now that it's going to continuously grow. So it seems like you're definitely in a good field right now.
Yeah, I know, certainly. And it's obviously very pandemic driven. And we all know digital was on its way. The business to consumer, the direct to consumers piece has been growing and has grown exponentially the last 6 months. But, health clubs have the footprint, they have the relationship with the consumers. And yes, to your point, it's going to grow now, but it's going to be and stay the norm after this is all over. And so health clubs just have to get ready and fitness businesses have to prepare.
Yeah. Talking about the norm, what does the future of fitness and gyms look like post-COVID? Do you think the future of fitness and gyms in person will return?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple areas, and we can talk about the obvious one first. And yes, gyms, they will absolutely return. It's going to take another bit of time, certainly, to get back to their pre-COVID check-in numbers and revenue numbers and all those fun things. But it will absolutely return. Number one. Number two, I think the future of gyms certainly is hybrid. And that's why IntelliVideo is here.
Right.
We will help them make sure that if, for example, you used to get to the gym 4 or 5 days a week, well, you're probably getting there 2 or 3 right now based upon schedules, kids, this and that. But we can make sure that when you're home and you want to catch that 30 or 40 minute workout, it can be with the same people that you trust. And that's obviously what we do. And that's the future. The future will be, even when this pandemic is over and every one of us got a shot in the arm with that vaccine and we're all safe, we're certainly going to be hybrid, and you're going to pick a workout or two at home a week. And then you're going to jump in and hit your group X classes or your studio classes, or get a workout on the strength floor. And that's certainly the future. And I think the third thing too, is gyms are finally, I think they're going to be looked at as a place where people recognize that it's good for the inside and not just the outside. So I think the future of gyms is certainly going to continue to push more towards the overall wellness of people, whether they're in the gym, out of the gym, wellness, the nutritional piece, because people have realized what not being able to work out has done to them in a gym, over the last 6 or 8 months, what being alone has done, or being away from your friends and community. We all know the gym is all about community. So I certainly think that's going to be a strong area. So those are the kind of the three key focuses, I think, for the future of gyms. And I think everyone's really honing in on that now.
Interesting to hear your perspective with given your expertise. I'm also a group fitness instructor, and it's been really hard as fitness junkie. It's been really hard for me to also adapt to this new normal. So what advice would you give to me or to someone else like me who's just having a hard time adapting to this new fitness world that we're living in? You keep on talking about adapting and pivoting and those skills that you need to have.
Yeah, I think it is difficult. And I think a lot of your podcast followers and yourself and your colleagues, and you're of that generation where you communicate a lot digitally anyway, and you grew up that way.
Right.
So, like that's old farts like me who do it all now, but it took us some kicking and screaming to do it. And we all do it. But I think I think you might have a leg up because you're kind of used to that and you've engaged in that area. But I think you just have to realize that I guess, as we say, fitness is going to hybridize. I think all our lives are about to hybridize for a little bit longer than we think. And I think it's whether it's fitness, whether in business, everything is going to become a little bit of in-person, a little bit of remote, and just learning how to deliver business services and tools. And look at all the different industries that have, some of them were already on their way to transforming, and some had to really transform quickly, like fitness. And they've done that, and they're delivering things that way. And my stepdaughter's karate class was always in person 3 or 4 days a week, and now for 6 months it's been in my darn living room, and we rearrange everything. She pulls up Zoom, and they just pivoted, and they're delivering a service. And she's earned a few belts, and she's gone through some tests. And it's not quite the same, but it's certainly bridged the gap. And even when they go back to full time, I think she'll probably do a class on Saturday, at home, because it's easier. And then during the week after school, pop down to karate and take them in person. So I think every kind of business has learned to hybridize, whether it's personal, professional. And I think as we as people just need to realize that we were forced into it to begin with. So we didn't have a choice in March or April. And now that we've kind of got out of the forced area, I think we can find that happy medium as people. And I think probably look at the in-person stuff and have a greater appreciation for it. I know I do. I had a 6-foot socially distanced dinner with somebody the other day, and it just I felt like I just won the lottery. I mean, it was just a lot of fun, and it was kind of back to life. And it was so you just have to learn to find the best in both of those areas.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how much that we appreciate human interaction now. We feel felt this loss for so long, and that's what I think I miss the most, is the human interaction at gyms and just building that. You feel like you're a part of a community. And I really miss that aspect. And I really miss the mental aspect as well. And you were saying that gyms are starting to focus on this idea that it's not just good for your outside, but it's also good for your inside. And I think we've all kind of known that and felt that, but gyms didn't really focus on it so much. They were focused just on nutrition and weight loss programs and meeting your goals solely physically. And you were saying they're starting to focus on wellness and mindset after people have been alone. How are you as a company, or how do you think gyms are now going to start to focus on the mental side of fitness, which is something that I'm very passionate about?
Yeah, I think as you work in a gym, you're a group exercise instructor, you've got a following. Gym owners, I think, have always known that. And the gym, the health club and fitness industry has probably known it. And I think what's the problem is that the rest of the world wasn't talking about it. It was all about, how do I lose the 15 pounds? How do I get the 6-pack abs, which I've never had, by the way? How do I get bigger biceps or whatever it is, and just have fun? And I think what's happened over the last 6 months is finally not the gym industry has been talking about it. You're seeing every doctor, every study, psychologist, people much smarter than me have come on it. They're finally talking about it, and it's getting to the regular folks, not the fitness industry people. And I think they're starting to see it, and they're starting to realize, wow, I'm a little down in the dumps. My mental health is not where it should be, because I'm not as active. I'm not engaging with people. I'm not as physically active. And I think finally the rest of the world is talking about it, which makes it easier for the fitness industry, who has known this. And when you get into the industry like yourself, you know these things. And so I think hopefully more some of the mind and body focus in the gyms and some of the content they're going to deliver, whether it's in gym or on a platform like IntelliVideo, is not just going to always be fitness content. I know a lot of our customers are talking not just about nutrition and local registered dietitians to come on and talk about healthy living and food prep, but also mental and wellness and providers who are coming on and just giving advice on how to live a healthy lifestyle from the mental capacity? What can you do to support yourself? How do you, you know, give yourself time to just reflect every day and all the things that those folks can really engage with people on. But that now that's going to be some of the content that's going to be delivered in these clubs and or online. And I think people will look to that mixture of fitness and nutrition and overall wellness and mental wellness is just part of what they get from their gyms every day.
So do you think that part of fitness is just going to kind of blow up in the best way?
I do. And I think it's not just that, but it's also, for example, making people even realize that, hey, I just, I went to the gym. I took a group ed class. I went to Orange Theory, had a great workout and not just feel the physical benefits, but now they're going to pay attention to the mental benefit. They're going to pay attention to the days off where their body does need rest. Like, you know, I get 2 rest days a week and I need them, but I actually, by the end of the day, I can tell the difference of when I did work out different and the both mental and physical. And I think people are going to pay attention to that more. So it won't just be always what they're getting from the gym in the content and the support. It's just they'll have a better awareness of how they feel mentally after they do and don't work out.
Yeah. The mindset to me is so intriguing. And I think it's so important, especially right now. People are feeling isolated and alone. And that I always train using the mindset, but I'm so happy that people are starting to draw attention to this aspect of fitness because I think not as many people, companies, gyms focus on it. I think it's so important. And I also want to ask you, I know you're an entrepreneurial minded leader and you're leading a company right now of the present and the future. Is there, in order for you to lead your team in terms of bringing on this mental aspect of fitness, you also have to have your mind right. Is there something that you do every day, whether it's in your morning routine or could be the smallest aspect of your day to day that is, this is something that no excuses, it has to get done just solely for yourself, for you to be a good leader.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, I do read a lot about some way more successful CEOs and these large companies, and they all are, you know, they listen to 3 podcasts a day. They read 2 books. I'm like, I'm not sure I can get all that done myself, but kudos to them. But for me, you know, my day starts at, you know, usually around 5 AM. I get up and it's except for 2 days, I go work out. So it's a 5-day-a-week thing for me. I work out and I have to start my day like that. I cannot work out in the afternoon or evening. I'm a morning guy. And I just, that sets all my intentions. I get the stress out. I actually spend a lot of time with my headphones and just thinking about what's going on with the day, putting some ideas down, quickly setting myself a reminder in between sets. And it does help set not just my emotional and physical well-being, but I actually get myself a little organized for the day. So that's really important and part of a routine. And for me also what leads up to that is the day before every night, when I finish up my day, I just spend about 10 minutes. I look at the next day. I see what's going on. I make sure I've got some time in my calendar for me, meaning I can follow up. I can do some individual contributor work, because even as a CEO, you're still an individual contributor and you're helping in certain areas. And so I always make sure of that as well. And then I think for the third thing I always try to do, and just helps my routine each day, is try to reach out to somebody on the team, whether it's the whole team or somebody on the team, just check in, even if it's just a 5-second text or a quick Slack message or something, and just kind of engage with them, even if it's not about business, just to say hello and kind of be that transparent, you know, human person as that leader. So those are 3 things that usually become a very strong part of my routine. And I kind of feel a little off if I haven't accomplished at least a couple of those things every day.
I really love hearing about everything you've done in life and all the incredible advice you've given us today. What's one thing you wish you'd known before you started your career in this industry?
I think just in general, before I started my career or as I was working my way up as a leader, I think the one thing when you're younger, and I made this mistake, is that you have to remember it's not about you. And I think it took me a little time to realize that. I was immature. I started a business young. My business partner, thankfully, was 5 or 6 years older than me. So he was a little more mature than me and helped. I think the biggest thing is, remember, it's not about you. It's about your team. It's about the customers you serve. It's about the industry you serve. And I think it's about helping people achieve their goals, whether it's in the fitness industry, whether that's their health, you know, their health and wellness goals, or any industry that you serve in. It's about your organization, your people, and your customer base. And it took me probably until my late 20s to really figure that out. And I think once I figured that out, it just changed how I thought about decision-making, how I thought about the team, how I thought about the direction of the business and all the decisions that you make. And I think I wish I had learned a little sooner, but it's certainly once you get there and realize it's about everything else but you, I think it'll help you become a better leader. When you do fail quickly. I think that's somebody at Jonas, the CEO of Jonas, who was my boss for a number of years when they bought our company, said to me, we don't care about failure on here. We just want you to fail quickly and pivot and learn from it. And I think that's a great lesson. In the days leading up to getting involved with Easy Facility and getting into the fitness industry, had a small startup, and it went well for about a year and then didn't go well. And I think I learned a ton from it. I learned that not every great idea, you know, can be delivered to market. Not every great idea has the right funding and backing behind it. And it also taught me a lot about humility. And so I think that something like that helps certainly set you in the right direction as you're growing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so important to be able to know how to face failure. And I talk about that a lot when I even teach my fitness classes, because you're going to fail in business, but you can also fail in fitness. And that's how we grow, both in the mind and body. I want to ask you my last and final question. Here at Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. So Adam, what are you addicted to?
Oh, well, some of the things maybe aren't so healthy, but well, certainly I'm addicted to my workout routine. I love it. It's just something, like I said, it's just, if I don't feel right, if I don't get that in. And that's one thing. And I've got obviously my children are a big part of my life, and I've got a little baby now, 14 month old.
Oh, congratulations. So
thank you. And she's, something that certainly, becomes quite addicting when you see them grow. And I think the other thing too, honestly, that, I think for me, I don't want to call it an addiction, but I suppose it really is a passion, and it almost borderlines on that. It's just seeing the successes come out of the decisions you make, whether it's you individually, whether it's your company, whether it's just somebody who works for you, who failed a couple times and then finally figured it out and grew. I think seeing the successes that come out of that, the decisions you make and the growth you have in a role, I think is something that I thrive on. And I like it. And so borderlining on addiction, but it's what keeps me in these roles, because we as leaders work with our teams, we make decisions. And when you see those decisions after maybe a couple of the speed bumps become successful, it makes you want to do it again.
Is there anything that you're working on right now that you'd like to share, or you want people to know about or connect with, if people want to connect with you?
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly please find me on LinkedIn, connect, reach out. I love chatting with folks. At Intellivideo right now, we are just really accelerating our growth. We have a ridiculously powerful platform. We have some really great customers, and we're just trying to accelerate that growing with, we just hired a bunch of new sales folks and marketing folks and customer support people. And we're just kind of putting our foot from like maybe second gear into fifth gear pretty quickly here for obvious reasons in the industry. And so you have to keep an eye out for us. You're going to see us grow. You're going to see a lot of big brands and small brands alike. We don't just work with the big brands. If you own a couple of clubs, we can certainly support you. We're cost effective, and we can help you hybridize and pivot to complement your in-club offering really quickly.
I'm excited to check out Intellivideo, and I am even more excited to see you continuously grow the company as a whole and bring it into the future.
Great. I appreciate it, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing all about your experience, background, and expertise with us today, and mindset.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
There's one thing to be a leader, but Adam showed us what it's like to be a leader and drive change and growth during such an unprecedented time. I hope that you guys learned so many valuable skills during this interview, and that you were able to take note of a lot of Adam's skills that hopefully you can yourself take on for the future. If you guys have not already, please subscribe below, leave a comment, leave a rating. It would mean so much to me. Thank you guys for joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.